No, I'm not sure if I have that. Well, I mean, you know, we all have different ways of dealing with stress, so.
Yeah, I always remember my.
Enjoy healthier relationships by building better boundaries. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, building boundaries. You know, we all have situations where sometimes we feel like we're being taken advantage of, where we feel like the people in our lives are not hearing us or perhaps are dismissing or disregarding us. Maybe we feel guilty saying no or setting boundaries that might upset somebody. If you feel stuck in those ways and you'd like to stop people from stepping all over you and treating you like a doormat, we are here to help you create healthier relationships by setting better boundaries. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I think it's important to realize that there are a lot of ways that we can experience people breaking down our barriers or our boundaries, you know, somebody pushing too far. And usually when this topic comes up, everyone's minds suddenly go to the really difficult times, you know, times of abuse, times of verbal abuse, times of really pushy people, you know, breaking down who we are. I know as a wife and a mother, women often go through this when, especially in the early parenting years, you know, the first year or five, where another woman, another friend, a person at your kid's play group, God forbid, your mother-in-law or your mother or your sister, to start busting down your boundaries in ways that say, you're not good enough. You should do it this way as a mother. You should raise your child that way. You should, you know, whatever it is. But then there are much more subtle ways where our boundaries are being worn down and we don't recognize it until we end up saying, why do I feel so depleted? Why do I feel like I have nothing left? Why do I feel like I don't know who I am anymore? Everybody wants a piece of me, and I have nothing left for myself. But we don't realize it's because we haven't kept healthy boundaries and known who we are.
Yeah, and building on what you're saying, I think we have a tendency to believe that boundaries are just cutoffs. You know, when somebody's really offensive, then we have to set a boundary and cut them out of our lives. But that's one kind of boundary, but there are lots of other boundaries that have to happen. In fact, every healthy relationship has to have boundaries. And what a boundary is, it's not a cutoff. It is a way of saying it is safe to be around each other, that we can be together and feel safe enough to be individuals together. It's not about saying, you go over there and get away from me. It's about saying, let's figure out how we can be safe to be in each other's presence and feel like we are together in that experience, as opposed to it being one person dominating the whole experience and me just sort of sitting over here in the corner.
And I think that, you know, if we take this away from personal human relationship for a moment so that we don't feel sort of confused or threatened by the conversation, we can talk about different ways to set boundaries in other images. So, for example, Greg, you're saying most of the time we think of boundaries as this cutoff or like a giant brick wall around a castle. You know, something to do not come through this portcullis. You are not allowed.
You shall not pass.
Exactly. But, you know, in my experience in the visual observable world, right, I remember when I was a little girl, we had these neighbors who had these two boxer dogs. And they would run their property, and if we kids went by, they'd sort of follow us from one end of their property line to another. They never crossed the front property line where the curb was and came at us, not one time. And I don't know as an adult whether those boundaries were, how those boundaries were set. Were they set because the owners of these dogs trained them incredibly well? Were they set, I was too little to understand this kind of stuff back then, by one of those
invisible fences,
mm-hmm. right? Where those dogs just knew, you just did not cross that. Apply that to our human condition and relationship. There are a myriad of subtle ways, of firmer ways, of intense ways, a myriad of ways to set relationship boundaries that say, you're welcome this far in my life, but no further. But I care about you. I'm open to that relationship to this point. You know, if somebody drives by my house, I don't even notice them. But somebody pulls into my driveway, I'm going to notice, and I'm going to have a different reaction if it's a stranger coming to ask directions than if it's, you know, one of my kids coming to visit.
Or, you know, if somebody's climbing in my back window, I'm going to have
That's
a different relationship
a
with
different
them than if they're knocking at my front door. Boundaries simply give people safe and appropriate ways to approach me. And they give two people safe and appropriate ways to be themselves with each other instead of feeling unsafe and having to either run away or be dominated in some way. So do you feel like certain people in your life are stepping all over you? Maybe you sometimes feel taken advantage of, unheard, dismissed, disregarded. Maybe the challenge is more that you have a hard time saying no, refusing requests, or even doing anything that you fear might upset somebody, even for good reasons. Let us help you create healthier relationships by setting better boundaries on our show today titled Building Boundaries. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And that's if somebody, as Greg said, is metaphorically, relationally crawling through your window and you know you have to set a boundary, or you're feeling depleted and run down by the people in your life, and it's just this idea of they're there, they're in your house, but they're staying too long and they're taking advantage, metaphorically and relationally speaking, and it's depleting you. However, you're feeling that maybe you should take a look at those boundaries in your life. We're here to help you figure them out and how to set them with grace today. 877-573-7825. Every day here on More to Life, we take a look at how St. John Paul II's theology of the body applies to our lives in the topic of the day. And as we look at the theology of the body today, we realize that we are called to communion. That's our destiny, to be one with Christ and God the Father as they are one. And yet, in the Christian vision of unity, becoming one with God and the communion of saints does not require complete destruction of the self. The fact that we're made in God's image and likeness speaks directly to the importance of boundaries. Let's talk about this for a second. The Trinity is one God, but three distinct persons. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, but they make room for each other to be their own persons as well. Theologians call this perichoresis. The same is true for us. In heaven, when we're entirely united with God and the whole communion of saints, we'll still be us.
That's right. Oneness does not mean that I can't be unique and unrepeatable as God created me to be. And that's why, in the Christian worldview, healthy boundaries are important in all human relationships, not just when someone's committing an offense against you, but they're the structure that create a healthy relationship. Boundaries, healthy boundaries, allow us to get close to people while still allowing us to maintain our integrity and our dignity as persons who deserve to be known and loved, not as a means to an end or as an extension of somebody else's ego, but as people in our own right. You know, healthy boundaries allow us to pursue unity and communion with others in a manner that's still respectful of our own individual dignity as unique and unrepeatable persons, as the theology of the body teaches us. And so that's what we're talking about today. Whether we're talking about setting up those healthy boundaries in the first place that enable you to have healthy relationships in general, or if there's a particular person who, you know, instead of coming through the front door, is either trying to climb through your back window or drive a tank through your back wall, you know, how do we create boundaries that enforce healthy behavior so that we can feel safer being around those people and hopefully build relationship? A lot of the advice that we're talking about today is taken from my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's a book all about setting charitable boundaries that invite people to healthy relationship with us and also protect us from the drama at the same time. So if you're interested in going a little deeper, check out God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. 877-573-7825, the show today, Building Boundaries. Let us help you create healthier relationships by building better boundaries. And again, that number, 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for this opportunity to come to you and to bring our relationships to you. Lord, your servant St. John Paul reminded us that building the kingdom is ultimately about building healthy and holy relationships. And an important part of that is setting healthy boundaries that allow us to be ourselves with each other and create communion with each other in healthy ways that respect our dignity as unrepeatable persons. But Lord, as beautiful as that sounds on paper, it's hard to actually do it in our real lives. So help us to have the wisdom and the compassion that we need and the strength that we need to set healthy boundaries that enable us to interact in safe and healthy and holy ways with others so that we can build your kingdom by building healthy relationships rooted in genuine love and care for each other. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Again, today on More to Life, our show is titled Building Boundaries. Are the people in your life stepping all over you? You know, do you sometimes feel taken advantage of, unheard, dismissed, or disregarded? Or maybe, you know, it's a slightly different twist on it, you just feel guilty saying no, or refusing requests, or doing anything that might upset somebody else, even for good reason. Let us help you create healthier relationships by setting better boundaries. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Maria Isabel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Maria Isabel. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Yes. I'm one of those persons that that need help on, you know, saying no. I've been working with this person for 5 years, and I have a hard time when it's time to go home. I have a hard time saying no because she always comes with. She always comes with something else, you know, like there's always something to do at work.
Sure. It's never ending.
And yeah, never ending. So when I stay late, my husband, you know, he always gets a little upset with me because, you know, at home I have things to do. I have kids to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And, last year, they created this new clock-in machine to clock out in
okay.
and out from work.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, thank you, God. You know, this is going to be easy for me to get away. So, but I still, you know, you know, my coworker, you know, she's my supervisor. And I said, well, I only have four minutes, and it's going to be time to clock out. But when I clock out, she always comes with something else, you know. Oh, you know, and she even reminds me, oh, it's time for you to clock out. And then I go and clock out, and she gives me more tasks.
And what do you do? When she comes past that limit, what do you say or do?
I just try to do it as fast as I can to go home. But because, I mean, she can stay there, you know. She doesn't get paid per hour. She gets paid, you know,
sure,
salary.
Have you ever, Maria Isabel, have you ever tried saying to her, I've clocked out, but I will make this my priority first thing in the morning. I'll leave it right here on my desk. Have you ever tried that?
No.
And let me ask you this, the tone of your voice in there, when you hear that, what goes through your head about why would that be a bad thing to do emotionally, not intellectually?
I just feel bad saying no. Such a hard time saying no. I got to go.
No, but I'm saying, what goes through your head? If you imagine saying what Lisa just said, what goes through your head about it? It would be bad. It would be wrong for me to say that because. Finish the statement.
Well, she's kind of, I don't know. I feel like she's going to get mad.
And if she gets mad at you, why would... Okay, so now we're getting into something. Here's what I want you to do, just in the interest of time, okay? Because we're going to have to run up against our break. So, you know, when you say she's going to get mad at me, you know, what that means is that somewhere in your life, when you said no, somebody got mad at you, okay? And you're projecting that person's head on your supervisor's body. And there's this part of you that's reacting to your supervisor as if she was that person. So, number one, I need you, if you want to get better at this, to remind yourself, okay, I am treating my supervisor as if she was whoever that person is, my mom, my dad, an old boyfriend, whatever, somebody who would get furious with me if I said no to them, that it wasn't safe to say no to. And then I want you to walk yourself through, and it would be better to write this out, I want you to walk through, how is their supervisor really the same person? You know, do they really have the same power over you? Are they really that same personality? Are you the same person? So, for example, if it wasn't safe to say no to mom or dad when you were 5 or 6 or 7 or even 15 years old, you know, are you that same person or are you an adult now? You know, and is it different in that because of those things? So I want you to really look hard at where you learned that saying no wasn't safe, and recognize that you are projecting that person or those people's head on your supervisor's body. Walk through, then, secondly, what is the difference between your supervisor and those people? What is the difference between who you are now versus who you were then? And then, once you've walked through that, start practicing doing exactly what Lisa said. Don't say no, give a qualified yes. Yes, I would be happy to do that tomorrow morning when I come into work. So you're not saying no, you're saying yes. But you're saying yes in a way that actually enables you to be the, you know, mom and wife and person that you want to be, so that you're not just living for work. If you find, these things will work if you can work them, but if you find that you're struggling to make that happen, then you might need to work with a professional to heal that deeper wound that where you learned that it wasn't safe to say no or set those limits. But try what we're talking about first. Write out those things that I said. Do what Lisa suggested in offering that qualified yes. And check back in a couple of weeks. Let us know how it's going. If you need more support beyond that, you can reach us here or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about how we can help you heal that wound through our telecounseling practice. Thanks, Maria, for the call, Maria Isabel. God bless. We are taking your calls about setting boundaries on More to Life today. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Let's talk through ways that you can stop feeling taken advantage of, unheard, dismissed, or disregarded, or how you can strengthen your ability to appropriately refuse requests or say no, or otherwise create healthier relationships by setting better boundaries. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling?
Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls about setting better boundaries, not just in difficult relationships, but in every relationship, because healthy boundaries make healthy relationships. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I'm having a hard time with my own mother setting boundaries with her. I see that she's really not interested in having a relationship with me. It's only when she needs something. And I suspect that it's not that she's not interested. It's that maybe her own woundedness from her own childhood.
Could you just give us an example? When you say that, you know, you feel like she's not interested in having a relationship with you, can you give us an example of what she does that gives you that impression?
For example, I'll call her and I'll say, Mom, how are you? Fine. What are you up to? Nothing. And it's always like that. So I feel like it's just a monologue.
Is that relatively new, or has that been your whole relationship, your whole adult life?
No, it's something that I realized. It's like my eyes were open not too long ago that I've always missed that, a relationship with my mom. I always craved that.
I see.
And it's not until I asked her recently, like, "What, Mom? Why aren't you interested in having a relationship with me? Why is it that I'm the one who has to call you?" And because she had cancer and it's in remission, I wanted to, you know, find out why she doesn't really, like, she's really cold and indifferent. And I asked her, said, "Mom, why are you like this? Why don't you want to have a relationship with me? Are you interested in having a relationship with me?"
And how did she respond?
There was no answer.
She didn't say anything.
And it hurt me so deeply because when she had cancer, I thought she was going to die, and then I was going to go cry to a grave and ask that question, and there would be no answer, and I wasn't prepared to receive no answer, and so it just hurt so much.
Of course. So, Maria, how can we help you today? Because there's a lot of hurt here, and we want to be able to give you what you need from this call. So what do you need from us today?
She only calls me when she needs something. So I'm trying to set healthy boundaries with her where she can see that, okay, I still love you and I'll still be by your side, but in a healthy way. I don't know how to set healthy boundaries with her because I grew up in a very...
Well, where do you feel like... So do you feel like... Are you saying that you feel like her requests are somehow... You know, that they're too demanding, or like what's the nature of the boundary that you feel like you need to set?
Her request is only when she needs something. It's only when it's about her needing money.
Right. No, I understand that. But are you saying that you don't because are you saying that because she doesn't want to have a bigger relationship with you that you'd rather she not call you about these things, or are you saying that?
Right.
Okay.
You feel used.
Correct.
Okay.
I feel
so,
used exactly.
Okay. So we're going to have to go to break here. So I'm going to ask you to hang on the line, okay? Because we'll bring you back after the little break here. We have just a hard break that we have to hit. But if you can stick around, I have maybe one or two more questions for you and then some thoughts on how to move forward with this. But let's continue talking about how to set boundaries with your mom that hopefully can heal the relationship but certainly stop you from feeling used. We are taking your calls about dealing with relationships where you're feeling stepped on, treated like a doormat, disregarded, disrespected in some way. How do you set healthy boundaries with people that invite a healthier relationship? 877-573-7825. And that's 877-573-7825. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Maria from Texas, but we also want to talk with you about what it would look like for you to be able to set those kinds of boundaries that enable you to have healthier relationships with the people in your life. As I mentioned earlier, most of the advice that we're giving on the program today are taken from my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's all about how to set charitable boundaries that make healthy relationships possible. You can pick up that title, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be back with more of your calls and talking with Maria when More to Life continues after the break. Stick around.
If you have sustained conversation with non-Catholic Christians, one of the things that always comes up is, why do you confess to a priest? Why would you go to a priest when you can go straight to God? I would say, well, look, I went to Jesus, I looked at his word, and it told me to go to a priest. It is interesting. One of the first things you notice right towards the end of the Gospel of John, that Jesus himself determined to forgive and retain sins through human intermediaries. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And Jesus commissioned his apostles on earth to speak in his name, to forgive sins or retain sins, not just metaphorically, but metaphysically.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the President of some country or something. You might get a little lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Discipline is a difficult question to navigate in today's culture. Many parents don't like the idea of corporal punishment, but fear spoiling their children as well. Luckily, the Church has long provided guidance for parents on this subject. In fact, some well-known saints have specifically preached against corporal punishment. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "Accustom your children not to be trained by the rod, for when he feels it, he will learn to despise it. And when he has learned to despise it, he has reduced your system to naught." St. John Bosco wrote, "Force indeed punishes the guilt, but does not heal the guilty. To strike a child in any way must be avoided." psychology, brain science, and our Catholic faith agree that parents should assume the best, gently correct the wrongdoing, and redirect the child toward more positive behavior. Avoiding force will continue a relationship of trust and mutual respect between you and your child. For more guidance on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today we're talking about building boundaries. How do we create healthier relationships by setting better boundaries? If you feel taken advantage of, stepped on, disregarded, or if you have a hard time saying no, refusing requests, or even setting boundaries just because you're afraid they might upset somebody, let us help you create healthier relationships by setting better boundaries. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Maria from Texas. Maria, are you still with us?
Yes.
Great. Thanks for hanging on. So just to recap here, you know, you've had a long-standing relationship with your mom where you feel like she really doesn't want a relationship with you, and that's really always been the case. It's not a new development. You know, she went through a bout with cancer, and she's in remission for that, and during that time, that really shook you up and made you want to say, Mom, why are you like this? Why don't you want a relationship with me? And she just didn't give you an answer. And so the nature of the relationship is that she doesn't call you or reach out to you in any way except when she needs you to do something for her. And you're feeling used, and you're not sure what to do about that. Is that a fair recap of the situation, or is there anything else you want to add?
That is correct.
Okay. And what kinds of things is she calling you and asking you for? I mean, give me some examples of that.
To solve a problem, or she might be having a financial situation that she needs to resolve, and she needs help with that.
When you say help with that, you mean she wants you to give her money?
Not necessarily, but recently, yes, and that's when I realized that I need to set healthy boundaries with my mom before things get out of control.
Okay.
Sure.
So let's talk through this. So when you're in a situation like this with a parent who is basically a narcissist, I mean, that's really what we're saying here, right? Because, and the reason I say that is because, you know, somebody who, you know, is a healthy parent, you know, is going to reach out, is going to reach back. But, you know, somebody who is only reaching out when they need something, you know, is only focused on themselves, which is kind of a sign of that narcissism. Whether she has a narcissistic personality disorder or not is sort of beside the point. It's that narcissism that is the hallmark of this relationship. So when you have a relationship with a parent like that, there's this almost this fear sometimes that, you know, I'm getting so little from this person that if I disappoint them or frustrate them in any way, they might withdraw altogether.
And underneath that fear, because, you know, anybody else listening who has never gone through this might say, well, big deal, you're an adult now, you don't need this person anymore. But especially when it involves a mother or a father, there's such an inward need to have that love and acceptance, as you're talking about here. Because we are programmed, right, to feel validated by knowing our parents love us. Unfortunately, a whole lot of us have parents that are dealing with their own issues, their own brokenness, and really aren't able to love us the way we need to be loved and the way all the Hallmark cards say moms and dads are supposed to act like. And so it leaves this wound in us that then makes us feel, well, if I just try a little bit harder, if I don't say no this time, if I bend myself into a pretzel that way, suddenly she'll flower into this mother we've always hoped for. The brokenness in her will not allow her to do that. She's incapable.
That dynamic is called a fantasy bond. The idea that if I could just push the right buttons, pull the right levers, jump through the right hoops, I would finally release the good mom that's inside this bad mom that I'm kind of, this cold mom that I'm experiencing. And it's a fantasy. Children need to believe that because the alternative is too horrible. But as an adult, you can reckon with what the reality actually is.
And it can actually be very freeing. Let me jump in and say that. Because I'm going to be honest here, Maria, a little too much self-disclosure maybe. I went through this same thing with my mother almost word for word, same kind of thing. And one of the things that I learned through the work that I did was that once we realize that our mom or dad is emotionally or spiritually broken in a way, wounded in some way that limits them, and we can align that with, well, what would I do if I wanted this person to get up and dance at my wedding, but this person was
paraplegic
or had no legs? Hoping for that, begging for that, wouldn't change that person's physical limitations. And my desire would be disordered because I was asking them to do more than they could do. Well, when we realize that a parent is spiritually or emotionally or both too broken to meet even our deepest needs, then we can say, it's not about me. It's their brokenness. I can give to them what I can give to them to keep me safe and to meet my obligations as a Christian, but I don't have to keep jumping through hoops and twisting myself up into pretzels because I don't have to own this. It's not about me. It's about their limitations that they can't really help.
Because just like a person can have a broken arm or a broken leg, sometimes a person can have the part of them that knows how to love be broken as well. And, you know, that part in your mom got broken long before you showed up, and it will be there long after. And so, you know, there's nothing you can do to fix that, unfortunately, unless she's willing to address it, which is, you know, granted, you're going to have to grieve that on the one hand. On the other hand, as Lisa's saying, it is freeing, because then that lets you stop jumping through hoops to try to get something that isn't there.
And it stops ripping open that wound every time she, you know, her name is mentioned, or a Mother's Day comes, or Christmas is there, or whatever it is. It's very healing to come to that.
All of that is preamble to the limits that you're going to be able to set with your mom. Now, you know, in general, honoring your mother and father, you know, it means at least making sure that in their old age they are provided for, that they, you know, are getting the medical care that they need, that they're safe, right? It does not mean tolerating abuse. It does not mean jumping every time they say, you know, jump. It means making sure that their basic needs are provided for. So I want you to kind of take that mindset. And really, when your mom calls and asks for requests, ask yourself first, is this something that applies to her kind of basic needs, you know, or is this something that she really needs to handle for herself, or that could be handled by somebody else for that matter? So when she asks you for a request, you could say, well, mom, you know, that's something that you need to go talk to so-and-so about. Here's the number you can call. Or, you know, mom, I'd be willing to set up a home health nurse for you for this, or I'd be able to really hook up, you know, you up with that. But I'm not able to do that for you.
Right. She calls you with financial issues and it's more about paperwork and balancing things. And you say, here's the number of two great accountants, mom. This is beyond what I can do for you, but here I got you this and good luck. I hope you find one that you really work with well.
But, you know, and in terms of finances, you know, if it's a matter of, you know, she's going to be thrown out of the house because she's not, you know, able to, you know, that's one thing. If it's a matter of, you know, she's overspent and she needs to pull out from it, that's kind of her deal. She needs to deal with that. It's okay to set those boundaries. You know, so I just, you know, it is complicated sometimes, but the thing that will make it clearer for you is looking at that idea that there aren't enough hoops I could ever jump through that would heal that broken part of her heart that would enable her to love me the way I want to. And then the last piece of this is I want you to really focus on where you are getting that love. Who are the people in your life who love you the way you always wanted to be loved? Spending time reminding yourself of how God is showing you his love every day, really writing down those little ways that he is present to you, that he has blessed you in a given day, that he has used you to bless others, and praising him for that and really calling to mind how loved you are as a beloved daughter of God is going to be a big part of healing this deeper wound.
Spending time when you're able just basking in front of the Blessed Sacrament, just spending time with the real presence of Christ and realizing how present he is to you, how he made himself available to you, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that he's always present to you, very much the way we wish our parents would be, and he's there for you. And asking the Blessed Mother, to, as she was given to John and therefore the rest of the world by Christ on the cross, She's given to us to be our mother, to nurture us, to bring us closer to Christ. So when we are, especially when we're dealing with issues around our mothers or around our parents, we can look to Mary and ask her to fill in those gaps and help us to become the women that, that she knows we can be in God.
With that, I need to let you go, but thank you so much for the call, Maria, and if there's more we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. And again, the book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, will have additional tips as well. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold if you'd like to go a little deeper. 877-573-7825. We're talking about building better relationships by building better boundaries today on More to Life. And as we head out to our next break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 147, verse 14.
Make peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest wheat.
He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. You know, the point again there is that when we have those good borders, God is able to fill our life with that peace that comes from having a healthy life, healthy priorities, healthy relationships.
The other thing that this speaks to me about is that it says he makes peace in your borders, which means, first of all, God acknowledges that we need borders, right? It says who we are and what is our primary responsibility. And often with, as we've seen today, when we're putting energy into those relationships in the office but not able to get home to our kids, when we're dealing with parent and in-law and other relationships that are outside of our borders and the things that we're really supposed to take care of in our immediate relationships, our spouses, our kids, our relationship with God, that can be slightly disordered. We have to remember who God put in our borders first, and then when we have the extra energy, work on those relationships outside of our borders. Just ordering that in how God set it up will give us more peace as well.
Again, building better relationships by building better boundaries. And again, that's Psalm 147:14. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest of wheat. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about building those healthy borders that make healthy relationships. 877-573-7825 is the number. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about building healthy boundaries, not just in troubled relationships, but in every relationship, because healthy relationships require healthy boundaries. What does that look like for you? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hey there, listener in Florida. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hey there. I'm having trouble with two relationships. One, my marriage of 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten into a situation I've just recently noticed has been sapping the life out of me. It started out with me focused on physical intimacy, but and so I went outside the marriage looking for something in that area, but I ended up in a platonic relationship with another woman, and just talking to her for, you know, a couple conversations made me feel alive again and made me realize just how much I was being hurt by my wife.
How much you were being hurt by your wife? You said not heard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to me about the marriage here a little bit. So when you say you're being hurt by your wife, what is she doing that's hurting you? And how are you responding to it?
She's been frigid with me for years now. But she, like, disrespects me all the time. She talks about withdrawing from my chaos. I've got attention deficit disorder, and I'm bipolar. But when she talks about me, identifies me exclusively with my chaos, that makes me feel angry. And so
can, like, you tell me what are you doing to address the ADD and the bipolar?
Well, I've been in counseling most of my life, and mm-hmm. I take medication for it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I've come a long way.
I'm sure.
Part of it too is it's like she negates my actions. Like, she'll ask me to take the recycle out to the backyard. And then while I'm putting my shoes, I tell her I'm going to put my shoes on, but she doesn't listen. And while I'm putting my shoes on, she just takes it out completely.
Is your wife part of your therapy?
She has been occasionally, but she's not very responsive in therapy. She always thinks of it as therapy to fix me. Like, she has nothing that needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. So, but
she,
I mean,
won't do individual therapy.
She won't do individual therapy. So is she open to going with you now?
I suggested that, you know, we could do more marriage therapy. I wrote her a letter 2 days ago, mm-hmm. which was kind of hard on her and on me, honestly, saying, you know, if things kept the way they were, you know, our relationship would end. And later I suggested more marriage therapy, and she said, well, she didn't say anything, honestly.
Good. So I want you to make the appointment, all right? So I want you to it's one of those things where she's afraid to enter into this process, right? But I want you to make the appointment and say, listen, I've made an appointment for us to go. We have things to work on, and I want to learn to work on it with you. I've made the appointment. Let's go. And, you know, don't give her the out. You know, it's put her in the position where she has to fight with you to not do it. Don't just say, oh, could we go? You know, would you like to go? No, of course you wouldn't. Like, who wants to go to marriage therapy? But if you make the appointment and says, look, I told you we're in a really bad spot and I don't want the relationship to end and I want to work on this with you. So I've made the appointment and I hope that you'll come with me. Put her in that position, all right, because this is really important. And, you know, you're not going to find satisfaction outside the relationship. You know, this really highlights something I say all the time, that infidelity, right, whether it's emotional infidelity or physical infidelity, is really an attempt to self-medicate for a depression. You know, the person isn't getting their needs met or doesn't know how to get their needs met in the relationship, and so they repress a lot of things. They don't express their feelings. They don't express their needs. They don't, you know, and you push it all down and you get depressed. And then you find somebody at the gym or at church or at work or who makes you laugh and makes you feel good. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, I was so dry. And all of a sudden, you know, but it's not a real relationship, because you can't be in a real relationship with someone where you're not free to give your whole self to them. And you're not. So you end up using each other. And even though it kind of feels better for the time being, it's really a self-medication for depression, and you can't have a healthy relationship based on that. You're just setting yourself up for more pain down the road. The answer here is that you need to stop accepting and stop settling for the marriage that you have, and really start insisting that the two of you work to make it better. I'm going to encourage you to, in addition to the marriage counseling, I want you to learn more about a program called Retrovi. It's rediscovery is basically what it means. And if you go to helpourmarriage.com, you will find the resource. You will find more about Retrovi, which is basically a weekend retreat that followed up by 6 follow-up sessions. It's not to replace counseling. It's to augment it and complement it, and it's to really get the doors open for more effective communication. It would be a great way to support the counseling that we're encouraging you to do. I also want you to pick up a copy of my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It looks at 8 habits that healthy couples have that any couple can learn to practice. But there's a quiz, an extensive quiz in chapter 3 that helps you identify your strengths and the challenges, and it lets you walk through the book kind of on your own to really start doing some exercises to build up those areas. That would also be an excellent complement to counseling. Incidentally, I was mistaken about the website. It's helpourmarriage.org. I apologize. It's helpourmarriage.org, which is the website for Retrovi. So Retrovi counseling, the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. I'd like the two of you to read through that together and start working on it. But please, please know that there is nothing to be found by going outside of your relationship with your wife. As frustrated, as depressed, as unhappy as you might be, you are going to complicate things 10,000-fold. By even developing a stronger emotional bond with this woman that you've become friends with.
Well, and to be honest, falling into grave sin. I mean, you just don't need that to have to try to overcome. So please push that relationship back so that you can live in right order and get this marriage fixed.
Thank you so much for the call. You know, if anybody is dealing with any serious physical or mental illness, I really encourage them to be in regular marriage counseling in addition to whatever other help they're getting. Because even if it's not, quote unquote, your spouse's problem, you need to learn how to support each other through it. You know, we had a call yesterday from somebody who actually was diagnosed with early onset dementia.
Alzheimer's, yeah.
And, you know, she was talking about the tension that was causing in her marriage. And, you know, and I was saying that they needed to go into marriage counseling to learn how to support each other through this very difficult diagnosis. Same thing with our caller here from Florida, who has a long history with bipolar disorder. They need to know how to work through that. Couples can have healthy and satisfying relationships, even when there are serious physical problems or mental problems, but you have to learn strategies to deal with it and know what to do and what not to do to make it work, and that requires real skill to make it happen. So I hope that you'll follow through with that, and I hope that any listener who's in that situation will as well. The big takeaway from today's program about setting boundaries is that healthy boundaries are part of any healthy relationship. As Lisa pointed out at the very beginning in our Theology of the Body reflection, even in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, make room for each other to be 3 distinct persons. There's actually a term for that. Theologians call it perichoresis. It's basically that idea that we can be one, but be ourselves in each other's presence. We are made in God's image and likeness. And so we also need to set those boundaries to make room for each other to be ourselves even as we build communion with each other. That's what a healthy relationship looks like. We don't make healthy relationships by letting people diminish us or demean us or disregard us or dismiss us. We create healthy relationships by making it safe to be each other in each other's presence. With that, if you'd like to learn more about how to do that, we have lots of resources. We've mentioned some of them on the program today. Our marriage book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. But in general, for other relationships, God help me, these people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. That is our book on building healthy boundaries that facilitate healthy relationships. You can check those out at CatholicCounselors.com, as well as learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.